is postdoc at ETH Zurich, and Ritam Sinha, who is a PhD student at Tata Institute, Mumbai. And now, before I go into the details, here is the broad picture. We know that holography, or ADS CFT, is very interesting, and this is interesting for different people for different reasons. For this talk, we'll be focusing on the particular aspect, which is like universality. So due to that nature, we can match things in both sides of the duality without knowing much about the theory itself. In that spirit, this is the main statement that will be, main theme of our talk, is that some particular conformal blocks in 2D CFT are actually equivalent to geodesic lengths in asymptotically ADS3. This is due to Park Rouse and collaborators. There are many other subsequent works on this, and there are many evidences that this holds true. And the goal or the aim will be in this talk to show you that conformal blocks with too heavy and arbitrary number of light operators actually factorize. And this is nice dual bulk pictures in terms of geodesics. And this result is actually tailor-made for computing entanglement entropy for excited states with multiple intervals. So this is the summary and the big picture of my talk. Now, the rest of my talk is like this. I describe all the terms that appear in my title slide, namely, what are conformal blocks, what is entanglement entropy, and what do I mean by heavy states. Then I'll briefly describe the boundary computation, which is essentially 2D CFT computations. I'll avoid the details. But then I'll go into the bulk to show you that it actually has some nice dual bulk pictures. Then we'll apply these results to entanglement entropy computation. And then I'll conclude with some future directions. OK. So we start with what are conformal blocks. Let's consider a p-point correlator like this in a CFT. So there are p points of insertions. And we can insert p minus 3 insertion of resolution of identity. It's like standard quantum mechanics. And a typical term in this sum is called a conformal block. Now, by definition, this conformal block is a building block for these conformal correlators. And these are like the basis choice of basis in for conformal correlators. So this is not unique to given a correlator. OK. Now, what is entanglement entropy? We all know that entanglement entropy is von Neumann entropy for reduced density matrix. Given a system like it has two subsystems, if we just we are interested in a system A, and we integrate out or the trace out the other system B, and we get the reduced density matrix, then we compute the von Neumann entropy. This is given by this formula, and this is called the entanglement entropy for region A. Now, this is a purely quantum notion, so it has information about entanglement between two subsystems, and it vanishes for pure state. If these two states, these are like product states, then they vanishes. In 2006, Ryu and Takayanagi actually gave a nice and elegant prescription, very simple prescription, to compute this quantum quantity in terms of some classical objects, like some area. So to compute the entanglement entropy between these two regions, they said that you need to compute the area of this codimension 2 surface in the extra dimension. In ADS2, hard dimensional ADS space. So this formula is given by, it's analogous to Bekenstein-Hawking formula. And this is a simple prescription to compute entanglement entropy. And this is called the holographic entanglement entropy. For this talk, we'll be focusing on particularly on these 1D systems and with multiple intervals. So we want to compute entanglement entropy for multiple intervals and in excited state. Now the question is, which excited state? So by definition, excited state means that you are not in vacuum state, but that is like a too general statement. For this for this talk, it will be like a particular set of excited states we'll be talking about. And this is the states that are prepared, that you can prepare by inserting operator at the origin. And this goes by the name of state operator corresponding in CFT. So we can prepare a state like this by some operator inserted at the origin. And we can compute the conjugate to that. So this is the state. And when this operator OH is heavy, or we call it heavy when the scaling dimension of this operator is very large. So by how large, we'll come. So we'll give a quantitative definition of large in the next one or two slides. So this is the definition of the, so whenever this operator has heavy dimension, we call it the corresponding state, heavy state. OK, we define the quantities. Now we can go to the boundary computation. So we start with this correlator. So our interest will be to compute this correlator, where this operator inserted at Z1 and Zm plus 2 are the heavy operators, whereas these operators at M, so these are M light operators and two heavy operators. We can write it in terms of cost ratios. This looks like this. And we have also used the projective transformation to map three of these points to 0, 1, and infinity. So infinity and 0 are the position of heavy operators. There's actually like two states, heavy states. And these operators inside the parentheses are the light operators. So they are M such light operators. Now we'll be working on C goes to infinity limit because we are interested in classical limit. We want to match the computation with bulk. And we know from due to Gemalogikov that C goes to infinity, this conformal block actually exponentiates. And this small f is some function. People call it classical blocks. So the idea is to compute these small f's, then exponentiate that to get the result for conformal block, the full conformal block. OK. But before going to computing that, let's see what the assumptions are. So we'll be working on this regime, where so-called heavy light regime, where both heavy and light operator, they scale as C. But the ratio between the dimension of the heavy operator to C is order 1, whereas the light operators is the same quantity for light operators as very, very less than 1. So we can actually work in the perturbation of epsilon L. And we'll also be focusing on some particular type of OPE channels. So given a conformal correlator, we can expand it in different OPE channels. But we'll be focusing on the particular OPE channels. And this is due to the fact that we are interested in computing entanglement entropy. And we know that in entanglement entropy computation, we actually fuse this in the OPE block. We fuse twist and anti-twist operator together in pairs. So that's the motivation behind choosing this conformal block. But it necessarily can be mapped to other OP blocks also. But we are mainly focusing on this particular OP block. OK. So this is the typical conformal block. Now we want to compute this in heavy light limit for large central charge. Now let's insert some operator psi z. So this is some light operator. And this doesn't scale like central charge. So if we just insert it inside this correlator, so this can merely multiply this exponentiate factor by some function of z, because it doesn't scale like central charge. It doesn't change the, the behavior of this exponential part. So we just use this, and this psi is any state. Psi can be any operator, so we can impose anything on this. So for simplicity, we impose null state at level 2 condition on that state, full state. Then we'll get some constraint equation like this. Now this L minus and L2, L minus 2 and L minus 1, these are the CFT operators. We know they have representation in terms of differential operators. So if we just write in terms of those differential operators, then this will reduce to some differential equation for this size, and there will be coefficients in terms of this small f and c involved together. So this is how it looks. This is the differential equation, and we just transformed is like the epsilon I is the hi by c, whereas the ci's are the gradient of this small f, which is the classical blocks. So our aim is to compute this small f, then exponentiate that to get the Carley f. Then to get small f, we have to compute these ci's, which are called the accessory parameters. And if we can compute these ci's, then we can just integrate over z to get f, and then we can exponentiate that. So this is the main, I mean, logic, a chain of logic we will follow. Now you can see that these are just the residues of this dz, ci's are the residues. To compute these ci's, we will be using monodromy properties of solutions around the singularities of this tz. And tz has the singularities at each point of insertions, zi's. OK, so just to tell you that monodromy around any contour containing operators, like these are like, it will capture the, it has the information about the resultant operator that arises due to fusion of these insertions. So suppose we are computing a six-point function. So there are two heavy operators and four light operators. And so this contour has the information about the resultant operator that produced by fusion of these two operators, that is this epsilon p tilde. And one can see that these monodromy contours are one-to-one correspondence with the OPE channels. And again, just to reiterate, we said that the OPE channels are actually motivated by, because we are choosing this channel where this light operator fuses in pairs due to, we want to compute this entanglement entropy, and where essentially it will be replaced by some twist and anti-twist operators. Okay, these are a six-point function. For five-point function, five-point block, we can see that we can do the same thing with these two. We can pair any two of them, but one will be left out. So the block will look like this, and in the monodromy contour will be like this. There are other possibilities, but it always be like one point will be left out. And this is so if we just compute the monodromy around this point, you'll get the dimension of that operator only, because it cannot fuse with other operators. Okay, now the monodromy conditions for all the contours from coupled system of equations, it has some, so accessory parameters are actually, we have to solve for some coupled equations to get these accessory parameters. And once we obtain the accessory parameter, we can obtain the conformal block. Now we, in our paper, we actually compute these 5 and 6 point functions very elaborately, and from there we can guess the result. It's like guessing the results for the higher point functions. So I'm just want to show you that if we get these accessory parameters, then we can obtain this full conformal block by just exponentiating. And so there will be two classes, like even point conformal blocks and odd point conformal blocks. For even point conformal blocks, say this M is even, then this 2 is for heavy operators, and M.
Sorry, can I, which monodromy do you impose on? Did you say?
Yeah, this is, I mean, usually the trivial monodromy. I mean,
very,
yes, this trivial monodromy is like. So if M is even, then we can see that if M is even, then it factorizes into like M by 2 4-point conformal blocks, product of that. And this does mean the particular OPE channels. So we are fusing in pairs of light operators. So it would be heavy-heavy, light-light. So these 4-point blocks are heavy-heavy, light-light blocks. For odd point also, we can do the same thing when M is odd. But when M is odd, we will have M minus 1 over 2 number of pairs, and then 1 will be left out. So we'll have M minus 1 by 2 time 4-point blocks that will multiply in this product. And there is outside that there will be 1 3-point function. So this is like M minus 1 over 2 4-point blocks, heavy, heavy, light, light, and 1 heavy, heavy, light 3-point block. And for completeness, I just written a small script. This is a small f, which comes here. And this alpha, these alpha appearing here, actually, this alpha appearing here is actually defined by the heavy operator dimension. We'll see in the bulk computation also this appears like this. So this is the this is actually I mean Fitzpatrick, Kaplan, and Walters also computed this for 4-point blocks. This is the same small f. Okay, now these are all with these assumptions. There are some caveats. Firstly, this factorization that you talked about is holds for large central charge, and all this. So all this has some have some interpretation for bulk theory also. So at last, so we, this factorization holds for large central charge, and for gravity, it means like from Brown and Hino, we know that large central charge is related to the large ADS radius. So we are talking about some classical gravity theory. We want to measure something, so this is at large central charge, and in the we are also computing these things in heavy light limit. In gravity theory, the two heavy operators will change the background. So the ADS3 space will be like some with some conical defect, and the light operators will be dual to some scalar field in the bulk. So some massive scalar field, so some massive particle moving in the bulk. So this will be the picture for the bulk theory. And we are, again, we are working for specific OPE channels. And this epsilon p tilde, which are the operators that arise due to fusion of two light operators, are negligible or very small compared to the dimension of these light operators. So this, is, this assumption actually, in gravity side, it means that the so there will be geodesic due to light operators and also geodesic due to the exchange diagrams. So this exchange diagrams geodesics doesn't back react to that light operator geodesics. That's the I mean the physical picture in bulk. Okay, so we can go into this bulk picture. So in a heavy excited state is described by this metric. When ADS, so this alpha again is due to the so the two heavy operator that back reacts to change the geometry like a conical defect, and this the alpha is the measure of the conical defect, and it depends on the dimension of that heavy operator, and the light operator actually is dual to some bulk field, but the light operator, as I told you, that scales like central charge, and so the mass of the operator will also be scaling like central charge, so that will be very heavy. So we can approximate it by some particle moving to some world line. So this is the picture. So by the conformal blocks can be reproduced by considering the length of this world line. So for 4-point block, say, so there are two insertions at here and here, and two heavy operator makes this space produce some conical defect in this space. So this will be the length of this 2-point. So the conformal block can be reproduced by adding this length to that length. So with proper weight, we can just add this length to obtain the recover the conformal block. As is for 4-point function. For 3-point function, there are two heavy operators which change this background, and there is only one operator that we insert here. So it can only anchor on to the conical defect, and you can just compute this regularized length to obtain the regularized 3-point function, a 3-point block. So we checked with the boundary computations also. So here is what for 4-point blocks. So we have these two operators that change the background at 0 and infinity. One is at x1 and x2. We call it xi, xj. And this is in cylinder, so we get this omega I, omega j. We can compute the length, and this is the world line action. So where these are the like some mass, and this is the length. This is the world line action for that. And since we are in cylinder here, we have to map it to plane because our field theory computation is done in plane. So you can just use the standard exponential map to obtain the full, this full block, where these empty factors are coming from the, I mean, this light operator will change in due to this transformation, this conformal transformation. So this is the prefactor. And the full thing can be matched with this 4-point function from the block. Now this, so once we got this 3-point and four-point functions. You can generalize it to any even-point functions or odd-point functions. So this, for particular eight-point functions, you can compute like this. So there are two heavy operators, and there are six light operators. Again, we are fusing these in pairs. There are many other possibilities, like one to four and others. But I mean, the picture will be the same, but just this will be relabeling of those things. So you can just compute this thing from the bulk just by adding this length, just like we computed for four-point block, and weighting it by particular epsilons. So you can just add this geodesic length to get back the eight-point function at the boundary. Of course, these are all true in that particular limits we're working in. For odd-point function, again, there will be, so this is for seven-point function. So we have two such pairs. This looks like this geodesics, and one is left out, which is left out, and we have to compute this length from the conical defect to that boundary, regularized length, and we can compute adding these all things together to get back the result for seven-point block. Now,
what happens when the opening angle goes to zero, when alpha goes to zero?
Alpha goes to zero.
Yeah, but each heavy becomes very large. It was a square root.
Yeah, so H heavy is, so alpha goes to?
Well, alpha was something like 1 minus 24.
Yes. If H is very heavy,
right.
Then at some point it can be like, it is a black hole.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So in general, it is a conical defect. But for heavy value, I mean, high value of H, it can be like some BTZ black hole.
Yeah, so basically the question, as alpha approaches zero, do you see something interesting happening?
We didn't study this here, but I think people have looked at this. I mean, they got the results of thermal, I mean, for the boundary theory, they got some results like entanglement theory for thermal, I mean, what entanglement theory we expect for thermal systems. We'll get that. But we are focusing on mainly on this. In general, it will be a conical defect, 3D. Okay, so we can apply this, what we got. We can apply it to compute entanglement entropy for excited states. Actually, you can see that actually the event point function, event point block will be important here. We are interested in n such intervals. So there are n such intervals. So we have to compute 2n plus 2-point function to compute this in excited state. So entanglement entropy, to compute this entanglement entropy at excited state, we need to compute this quantity, where this is a heavy state. And this thing is sandwiched between these heavy states. And from state operator correspondence, we know that this is like some operator acting on this vacuum, and the conjugate is that. So again, we can remember that this is the quantity we started with. Only thing is that the light operators are changed, replaced by twist and anti-twist operators. And this is the 2n number of light operators and 2 heavy operators. So we need to compute 2n plus 2-point functions with 2 heavy operators and 2n light operators. And 2n light operators sits here. So one twist, one anti-twist, one twist, one anti-twist, and so on. So we need to compute that. And now we can see why we have chosen that OPE channel, because we are interested in computing this type of correlator with sigma, sigma bar, sigma, sigma bar, and they fuse together, these light operators. And why these sigmas are light? There is a reasoning. We know that twist operator dimension goes like this. They are same. And so H sigma or H sigma over H sigma bar over C goes like n minus 1 over n. And we are interested in n goes to 1 limit. So in that limit, this goes to 0. So these are actually light operators. So you can just apply our results to this. Again, sigma and sigma bar are light operators. And sigma is a heavy state. Sigma is a heavy operator that produces the heavy state. Now we can compute by the field theory computation, just replace all these quantity, replace the right operators by the sigmas and sigma bars, we'll get this quantity, which is, so this is the entanglement entropy for n intervals in excited state. And again, alpha is that quantity. And you can see that there is no exchange lines because twist operator fuse, leading order twist operator fuse into identity. So epsilon tildes are like zero. So leading order, there is no contribution from that exchange diagram. And one can actually reproduce this by just calculating these lengths. So this is essentially a generalization of Ryu and Takayanagi with arbitrary number of intervals and in excited state. So this is some generalization. OK, I think too fast. OK, so to summarize, we have seen that higher point conformal blocks are tractable for heavy light limits. And these conformal blocks can be reproduced precisely from the gravity computation, gravity picture. And also, we have computed the entanglement entropy. We applied this to compute the entanglement entropy for disjoint intervals in heavy state. And one interesting thing is that we have considered an arbitrary number of intervals in some excited state, or in some excited state, and we can write down that in terms of some bulk geodesic length. So it sort of hint toward the bulk locality theory people are talking about these days. So it may be there is a hint that the is coming from some bulk locality. There are a few places where our results can be applied. One is this tripartite information. So there are many different measures of entanglement, for that matter, n-partite information. So these are very interesting. There are some interesting quantities, but these are less explored and less known, I'd say. But they're very interesting. For example, the tripartite information, it has a nice property that it doesn't diverge even if the two intervals share same boundary, which is unlike the mutual information. Mutual information actually diverges when two intervals share the boundaries. So these things can be computed or explored with our results. Another immediate application will be to generalize it to time-dependent cases. So far, we have considered only time-independent cases. And we can compute this mutual information or other things for local quantities, for higher number of intervals using our results. And also in scrambling and chaos, people studies these four-point functions or higher-point functions. So you can use also in this our results to this scrambling and chaos. And there can be many other applications also. Apart from the applications, we can compute other things. Like we can see whether our results can, how far we can push our result when there are extra conserved current, like supersymmetric theories or higher spin theories. So another intriguing thing is to compute the 1 over C corrections, or for that matter, epsilon L corrections. We have computed these things in epsilon perturbation in epsilon L. We can compute higher order in epsilon L. So a higher order in 1 over C corrections will be interesting in terms of entanglement entropy also. So it's like some quantum corrections to entanglement entropy. It's like one loop corrections to entanglement entropy. And the most interesting part will be to see how far we can generalize it to higher dimensions. So this will be very interesting and also very challenging. OK, so that's what I have to say. Thank you.
More questions? So as for the tripartite information,
yes.
Would you get non-trivial tripartite information in this computation? Because everything factorizes into kind of two-point functions. So maybe you get something trivial.
Depends on the how far the intervals are, right? If you are just nearby, then the block may, the channel may change.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are nearby these two, then maybe the other channel dominates.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be interesting. Even mutual information we have computed in a few.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.